Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In this special mailbag edition of the 23 Personnel Podcast, we talk about the best food condiment in the pantry, why Labar's food takes are always such trash, what our favorite cooking grilling implement tools are, the Coliseum Auditorium, the vote to abandon that building, what new restaurants Michael and I might try, and even some sports-related questions. The mailback edition of the 23 Personnel Podcast starts right now. You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael. Questions time. We got lots of responses this week, lots of questions submitted. Thanks, Michael, for staying on top of it, getting the call out there on Monday. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 questions regarding food.
Yeah, I think we scratch people where they itch sometimes.
So let's actually start with the sports related. Go to counterproductive at Paxton CD. We'll. Cliff Kingsbury wears sunglasses and a hat for his next indoor interview. If it's in the practice facility, I'm going to say yes.
I hope so. I hope he does, because this has caused a lot of people to point out and lash out at a man who's just conscious of UV protection. So I hope he does. I hope he wears it just to bother the haters.
The UV protection from the... Someone as fair-skinned as yourself.
You see me. I'm sitting here in a white t-shirt.
Oh, you're wearing a shirt? I couldn't tell.
Exactly. That was my point. Aside from me being as red as the clock on the wall and back behind me, there's really no color on this skin. So I'm all for the sunglasses and hat. And he was obviously coming in from outside, and they just put a mic in his face, so... You know.
Yeah, and I'm going to be there with you on giving him the benefit of the doubt. One, on days where they're inside, they also practice outside. They practice both. They're in the stadium. They're in the facility. That facility has a lot of natural light, so even if they spent the entire time in there, there's a lot of light there. You could still be wearing sunglasses and not feel like out of place, not like you're in a dark office with dark sunglasses, like you're trying to hide a hangover or something. Which I don't think he's doing. Yeah, I don't think he's trying to cover anything up.
Yeah, I hope he does. I hope he wears another one just so everybody will. Why is Kingsbury wearing a hat? And then I'll just be like, yeah, because he's the best. That's why.
You just want to like watch the world burn. All right. So he had a basketball question. Is Zaire coming back?
We will not know till June, unfortunately. That's going to be a long, anxious wait. I would really be surprised if he did. It seems like there's a... You know, he's projected to go in the first round for sure. Depending on where you see it, it's like 13 to 24. I don't know. He's been projected all sorts of places, so...
So I get there's only 2 rounds in the NBA draft, but I think if you're going to be drafting the first round of any draft...
Yeah.
It's a fairly safe assumption to say he's going to go.
And that means... So what does that mean? If he is drafted, is it kind of like... wasn't Mahomes drafted in baseball? Or
mm-hmm.
Okay, and so he twice. Just... Yeah, he just turned it down. Is that what Zaire would do? He would just...
No, so I don't think he can be drafted and then turn it down. I think that's baseball only. I think he has to declare whether or not he wants to go into the draft before the draft. Now, okay. So he's starting the process without an agent, which retains his amateur status, meaning he can go through this pre-draft process. I keep saying that word. He can go through all of that without an agent, decide that he hears back from the NBA saying you need all these things to work on before you're a serious NBA contender, at that point he could decide, no, I don't want to enter the draft. Maybe he hears lots of good things, like, no, I'm going to go ahead and go and make some money, become a professional. Again, I think with how high he's projected to go, that he's likely going to go.
Yeah, and I don't see why he would change his mind. You know, unless something comes up later, or I just don't see it. I really think we've seen the last of him at Tech, and that's not a bad thing. I mean,
no, it's going to help your program. It's going to help your,
yeah,
you know, in terms of recruiting, say, hey, we get guys to the NBA.
Yeah.
This was a one and done guy that you didn't have any expectation of that coming into the season, which I think is one credit to recruiting and evaluation from the staff. So if the staff is coming after you, you know that you're a pretty legit dude, whether you have five stars behind your name or not.
Right.
And then coaching and improvement, that you go from, you know, a three-star guy to, you know, top 15 in the NBA draft in 1 year.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm anxious to see where he goes, and I'll follow him wherever he goes and try to keep up with him, and hopefully he'll do well. I'm a little worried that he's going to kind of, one of my friends brought this up, actually, Adam brought this up, that he could kind of end up in a D league somewhere for a while, or because he's not ready to play NBA basketball in October. You know, he's just not. And even if we see him on the court, it's not going to be for a couple of years, I don't think. And my friend brought up the fact that he kind of brought that up, and I agree with him that it's just, I still don't think it's wrong for him to go, just because it's such an opportunity, and who knows what could happen in college. You know, knock on wood, something terrible could happen injury-wise next year, and then you miss out on this chance.
Which is what we'll get to in our next question.
Right. And so we kind of, you know, I'm for him going if someone will draft him, but I don't know if that's, I just hope it works for him. I hope it works the best for him. I hope he finds some coaches and develops well and gets on a, you know, an NBA roster within the next couple of years, and then next thing you know, he's starting for somebody. So I hope that's the way it goes, but I don't see it happening immediately. He's not going to be, you know, like Lonzo Ball or something and just show up starting for the Lakers next year.
That Ball family's ridiculous. No, so selfishly, I would want Zaire to be at Texas Tech next year. But I do what – I mean, I wish for him – I wish the best for him, that whatever he does is going to be most advantageous to him, whether that's going to the NBA and maybe not starting but still earning money and, you know, acclimating to that. I mean, we saw Ben Simmons do that in mm-hmm. Philadelphia. And then he comes out and declares himself the rookie of the year. He's like, you're not really a rookie, dude. This is year two. Like, granted, you didn't play last.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Last year.
Right. Yeah.
So the another question that Counterproductive asked, how can we get Gingery back for his senior year? And I think it's the same kind of thing. If it's advantageous for him to come back and improve his draft stock somehow, then yeah, you do that. We hear a lot of people that have had this surgery, the Tommy John surgery. It's fairly commonplace for pitchers to have this. They come back just as strong, if not better. It takes some time, which is where I think may lead him away from coming back from his senior year, that he could just roll the dice and hope that an MLB team knows how good he was, knows they're going to have to take a little bit of a flyer and an investment with him and say, okay, we know you won't be ready for this first season or maybe the first half of the season, whether it's minor league or up in the AA or AAA, kind of waiting for a spot. I don't think he comes back because of how long the recovery is for this. Even though it may help him his draft, but I think even then, the recovery for that is just too long.
And isn't it usually a year? Really?
Sorry, I'm looking it up.
Yeah, I'm afraid we might have seen the last of him too in a Red Raider uniform. And Counterproductive had a follow-up question regarding that, and he says, can we sabotage the scouting report? If there's any way we could sabotage the Gingery scouting report, Spencer, what would you put in there to what would you do to sabotage it? Maybe some really untangible stuff, like not a team player, really looks out for number one. I don't know. I can't even think of anything good. It'd be hard to sabotage that scouting report, man, because it's not even scouting. It's records now. It's just all there's games played. There's all sorts of stats to look at, and I'm sure there will be some sort of scouting when he's able to pitch again in front of some people, but it's going to be a while till he can do that. Did you find anything?
Okay. Yeah, this is from MLB.com. How long does it take to return to competitive throwing following surgery? The average pitcher returns to game action 12 to 16 months after surgery.
There you go. So I was like, I thought it was at least a year.
So competitive throwing, I would think, would be... I mean, maybe that's like in-game throwing, but to me that means like you're gearing up for a season, and if you're gearing up for a season in March, you're missing a significant part of the college season. You may be missing a month or so of the professional season. I just don't think with that kind of timeline that he would be back at Tech. I don't know what you do to keep him here, because like I said, I don't think he would even have time to pitch here to help his draft stock.
Yeah, I think the timing is the worst part of it all. I mean, I don't know, maybe we convince him to fail some classes or something.
But he doesn't need to be academically eligible to go to the MLB.
No, I know, but maybe he's got a mom who he promised he'd get his degree before he went pro, and we need him to... Yeah, okay, there we go. That's it. That's how you get in there. If you have a class with him, maybe sick your dog on his homework.
Take notes for him and then don't ever do it.
Right. Never show up. Give him a fake name. Yeah. That's all.
Finally,
I can think
he
of.
Asks, will Tadlock right the offensive ship and win back to back to back? So while the team is struggling offensively, it seems like they still lead the conference in basically every offensive statistic there is. So it's struggling to see this team get shut out for some games, struggle against Kansas when you score 3 runs to their 17. But you lead in like an average in home runs, I believe. I have to look all this stuff up, and I don't have it pulled up. You just hear a lot of me bang on the keyboard. I think what's hurting Tech right now is inconsistent pitching or the offense going into slumps at the absolute worst times. Like, you got a one-run performance from Davis Martin and bullpen, and you lose that game. Like, you gave up one run and you lost the game. Like literally, you couldn't have given up any less and like still lost the game.
It kind of shadows back to football last year, where defense would get three stops in a row,
and your offense is like, we're going to punt the ball.
We're going to go
gonna
three
shank
and out
it too.
Yeah,
or we're going to drive down the field and miss a field goal. And
yeah, just something terrible happens. Just can't get it going on both sides.
So I mean, there's obviously time to get some of that consistency stuff worked out. You've got Shedder coming back. Obviously, Gingrey's not. Your pitching's there. There to win the conference. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take some improvement, I think, because like I said, you've already started behind the eight ball. You're second or third in the conference at 5-4, which is not really stellar. Your schedule is ramping up. It's backloaded. So if you're going to be catching up and making some headway in the conference race, you need to be doing it now, stringing together series wins, series sweeps, going back-to-back-to-back, at least, you know, April 10th looks unlikely.
Yeah.
But you don't have to win the conference to get into a regional or super regional. So there's that.
That's true. I'm good with that one.
All right, let's move on to the nonsensical part of the questions.
Okay, yeah.
Let's just start at the top.
We are done with sports at this point. So
just for entertainment and food.
Yeah, so stick around for more of the 23 Personnel Culture Podcast, Culture Corner.
Yeah, if you want sports, come back next week.
Yep, we're done.
All right, from the Daniel Swanberg. Best food condiment in the pantry. Michael,
I want to go first.
Yeah, please do.
We had a Slack chat the other day where Mike shared his disdain for ketchup and used the word basic to describe it, which...
That is like the millennialist... It's not even millennial. It has to be like the next generation.
We got to have Mike back on here because he just loves to shut down any of our food takes.
That's the thing, is like he's got the worst food takes out of anybody. He's talking about Brahms being the best regional chain. You're like, dude, is you doing?
Well, in no disrespect to ketchup, I'm thinking the way I'm going to answer this is the condiment that I use the most at home. Like the thing I reach for the most and just put on stuff.
Which he did not put in the Slack chat, so I don't know what he's going for here.
Right. So the best food condiment in the pantry at our house is Cholula. I love that stuff. That stuff can go on so many things. It can go on scrambled eggs, breakfast burritos, like rice bowls, beans. I've even put it on black-eyed peas. Fajitas, of course. I mean, Cholula's good stuff, man. And back to my friend Adam, who I talk about all the time. He's the one who turned me on to it. We bought like two huge things of it from Costco a long time ago, and we're still working on them, and it's great.
I will not disagree with you that a hot sauce is a good condiment up there in the pantry. And again, I'll have to figure out how literal is pantry, because like there's another condiment that I use a lot, like you're going to be like, oh my gosh, he's a child. But the hot sauce that I would turn to is Louisiana hot sauce. It's more of a vinegar.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's good. I'm not a big fan of Cholula. I like Cholula better than like Tabasco.
Oh, yeah. And
which is straight
Tabasco, I still like Tabasco sometimes.
Pepper.
If that's all they've got someplace and I need just a little extra spice, I like to put on a... Ooh, Frito pie. That's another good one. Anyway, yeah, Cholula. Hands down, man. That's the best food condiment in my pantry.
Yeah,
I use it by far the most.
I would say a hot sauce is probably the most widespread used, and that it can go on, like you said, just by anything. This is where, like I said, was talking about pantry. How literally are we going with pantry? Because the one I'm thinking of is needs to be refrigerated.
Oh, I think that counts. It's just a condiment. I think pantry is a general. He just means in general, you know, best food condiment.
Because
at your house.
Again, the toddler that I am, I will put ranch on basically anything. But it has to be good ranch. I don't like bottled stuff. I actually have to make it myself with a Hidden Valley powder.
Okay, that's acceptable because I was about to rail on bottled ranch. I can't
The only bottled ranch that I like is from Dion's.
Dion's bottled ranch is good. We've bought Ken's. Ken's is tolerable. Hidden Valley and Kraft, they're just awful. It's just slime.
Yeah, it's
slime with no flavor. People drench pizza in it, and it just makes me want to throw up. It's the grossest looking thing.
It has to be, like I said, it has to be a good ranch. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
I haven't found a bottled ranch outside of Dion's that I can tolerate, so I'm either going to make my own,
yep,
which is not saying much. It's milk, mayonnaise in this mix. Have Dion's if I'm at Dion's. I'm hardly ever there. Or I reach for a hot sauce.
Yeah.
Or a spicy ketchup. But that, again, ketchup is even more... Like, it's not as wide... It's not used as much on as many foods as just a regular hot sauce or ranch.
Yeah, ranch is... I'm really picky about mine. I don't know. That's a whole different combo. definitely Cholula for me as far as at the house. Even though I do have spicy ketchup and... Whataburger, jalapeno cream ranch, yeah, and then
I keep telling somebody, like, I have to go to United and get a bottle of each.
You do
have to,
and I really like. I call them fancy mustards because my wife doesn't like them. She likes yellow mustard if she's ever going to use mustard, but I like the Dijons and the spicy browns and the Tabasco mustard. They had one I liked one time. So I like those for on a sandwich. You know, that's what I'll pick for a sandwich, something like
the
that.
The only fancy mustard I like is a honey mustard every now and then. I'm not a big fan of Dijon or spicy brown. There was a spicy tricked up version of mayo it was a sriracha mayo that was pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I probably
sriracha is another hot sauce that's kind of it's still better than Tabasco, but not something I'm reaching for first.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of sriracha either. It's overdone. But yeah, the. Oh, and guess who serves chicken sandwiches and chicken wraps and stuff made from Cholula hot sauce? Your very own Caprock Cafe, ladies and gentlemen. So come on by. A non-official sponsor of the 23 Personnel Podcast.
Still working to get that queso sponsorship.
Yep. It's in the works.
Although, so I finally got them to follow the Twitter handle like 2 months ago. I was like, it's my time to reach out. I never did anything. So.
Well, okay. Here's what we need to do. We need to go back to the restaurant, do some social media posting, and then you might reach out because they may hit like or retweet or something.
And here's the other thing is I've noticed they actually spend quite a bit of money like on advertising and marketing. So
they do.
They may not feel like they need to spend any more money on some piddly old podcast.
Or at the same token, they'd love to support some local guys just trying to make ends meet.
A buck.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Brian Don Carlos, favorite cooking or grilling implement? I'm going to go first because it's lame. I'm going to just let Michael go and manhandle this one. I think the thing that I have found out that I like or rely on more and more is a good meat thermometer.
Oh, that's not lame at all. Continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
no,
you.
No, I mean, just that, like, when you're cooking a steak, like, okay, so I like to do the reverse sear, which you cook it in the oven until you get to a certain temp, then you either on the grill or on the stovetop. To get the consistency, you have to get it to, you know, rares, what, 125? Or you pull out of the oven at 125, which isn't all that warm at all. That obviously, if you're doing any kind of barbecue, you need one of these to make sure that you're bringing your brisket up or other smoked delicious meats. And of course, if you want to avoid salmonella and making sure your chicken's cooked, you need to temp that. So, That's, like I said, not like a super fancy or like a guy's gadget type thing. Which they do have really cool meat thermometers, I'm not going to lie. But that's the one that I have found more and more uses for.
Man, I'm with you. I had three things I thought of when Brian asked that. One of them I'd already talked about on the on my Eats and Bounds post was I have this old pan that was my mom's. And I remember her making cornbread and like turkey and dressing and stuff in it. And that's always my grill pan. Like when I bring something in from the grill, I mean, it's not a pretty pan by any means, but I really like that pan. So that's one of my favorite things.
Speaking of, there's one thing that I really want to have. I don't really like, I'm not looking forward to like the upkeep of it, but a good cast iron skillet.
Yeah. I have a, I got a flat or a cast iron pizza pan. But my grill is a Traeger, and it doesn't quite get hot enough to do pizza. Or at least it wasn't when it was cold this winter, so we might try it again.
Ooh, my grill's a Traeger.
It is. It is a Traeger. And so that goes into my next thing, which is to go off of yours. I have a wireless meat thermometer, which is just awesome, that I can just carry around on my belt. I can go all around the house.
On your belt? Are you wearing it like a cell phone that like just...
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I was in true dad mode the other day. The kid was asleep taking a nap, and I had some, I can't remember what I had on the grill, but I had something on the grill. And so I had a meat thermometer clipped and the baby monitor clipped. It was it was a proud moment.
I'm sorry I missed it.
And I'm one, if it was socially acceptable for men of 34-ish to put your cell phone on a clip and put it on your pants and not be made fun of, I would totally do it because I hate having that damn thing in my pocket. I hate it. And you're constantly moving it around. It just cramps my style. And anyway, that's another tangent. My other grilling implement that I like, I worked at a furniture store in my hometown that was the same people owned a furniture store that owned a funeral home. And so I worked in both sides, but mainly the furniture store. And they had a really cool deal.
Great combination.
Yeah, it was. And they had a really cool deal one year where if you bought a recliner, I think it was for Father's Day.
Did you get a casket, please?
No.
Please say casket.
No, they didn't have any of those deals. But if you bought a recliner, you could get you'd get a grilling set with it. And so this was like 04. And it's the same grilling set I still use. It's got wood handles and stuff on it, and it says Berkline Recliners on the plastic case that it's in. So I'm pretty partial to that. It's nothing super groundbreaking about it, but I like that set quite a bit.
Yeah, so a grill is definitely on our wish list for items that we want to get now that we're settling into the new house. We were super adult about this and like wrote out our priorities. Like, okay, so we need blinds. We need a bed frame, which we still haven't gotten, but we need a mower for the grass that's still not growing.
Yeah, so you've got some time.
Yeah.
Get the grill. You need to eat first. You can mow later.
Well, no, I've got the mower. I just don't have the grass.
Oh. Well,
no, so, okay, just to... There was a sale at like one of the big box stores this past week, like the Black Friday in spring. And the mower I wanted was like $50 off. I was like, might as well just get... I mean, I know which one I want. Might as well get it now. Like, I save $50.
When in Rome.
Save, in air quotes. So, yeah. Was that the last item, or did you have one more?
That was it.
All right.
Those are my three I had.
All right. Let's go to Briggsy at Old School Sig. Would you move to be near this new Market Street? With that tweet, he had a picture of, I guess, the new one in Frisco with the tap house bar in the Market Street.
Yeah, and he also had a picture of a wing bar where you could... That's it. That's what it was. They had different kinds of wings, and you just load up and you buy wings by the pound.
So,
and that sounded pretty marvelous.
Yeah, like, okay, the picture wasn't all that appetizing, but I'm imagining
though,
if those pans were full of fresh wings, I would go ham.
Well, there were fries and some other things, you know.
I would
kind of mix and match, I think.
The bar, okay, so I don't drink. That's not something that would entice me to go to this Market Street beyond it just being a Market Street. The wing bar would have been pretty cool. Maybe we'll get one of these new ones in Lubbock.
Well, we do. We have one.
We do.
Yeah, the one on 4th and Milwaukee has a bar in it.
Do they have wings?
I don't know about the wings. See, I've never been there. And so that's what I thought he was talking about at first was it's like, that is way, you know, we're in South Lubbock. And that is...
Hotty toddy.
In Lubbock terminology, that is like in Northwest Lubbock. That is way off. That's a whole 15 minutes from here. Which all you people in DFW are laughing right now, going like, 15 minutes? I'd drive that just to get a cup of coffee. So, yeah, I know everybody's
like... My drive
to
work actually takes 20 minutes, okay?
Okay, well, mine's 7. But that's neither here nor there. But, I've got to go to that one, Briggsy, because that bar looks really cool. One of our friends on Twitter... I won't say who it was because I don't know if they would want me to share. Anyway, they mentioned that they went to that new United here in town and they ran into a coworker who had been there for like 2 hours.
Who and needed to sober up before they could go home.
Just went to get orange juice, but then ended up having a couple of beers in the bar and then needed to walk around and kind of sober up before going home. And I was like, okay, that could happen to me. I could tell my wife, well, yeah, I just go, you know, real quick, I'll go grab some butter and...
Yeah, real quick, go to the store, the opposite side of the city, and hit the bar while I'm there.
Where were you? It's a grocery store. Grocery store the whole time is busy. So busy.
It's a Saturday morning. I mean, what do you expect?
Why is your face red? I don't know.
It's hot out there, man. Yeah. I burn. Come on. You know this.
That was hilarious, though. I could see that happening. Well, you know, there's the new bar. I haven't been there. And then, you know, 2 hoppy IPAs later, and you're like, I got to eat some Mexican food or something. And
I cannot go back to work.
I got to call in.
All right, next question. This one's from Samantha, the good wife, at Mrs. Rogers. Now, she didn't technically ask this question to us over Twitter. She mentioned this in the car.
We'll allow it, though.
Yeah, I will allow it. This is... She asked, what new restaurant are you going to try next? So she's talking to Michael and I, what new restaurant we're going to try next. And we were actually talking about this before the show started. I don't know if there's a new restaurant that we're going to try. We did try Max. You've already heard us talk about that. We did try that one other restaurant we heard really high recommendations of from LaBar. Really should have been the first piece of evidence of his food takes or trash. Because that restaurant was...
Man, you are just laying it on poor Mike
questionable.
Today.
I don't know. It's not necessarily a new restaurant, but there's actually some news that came out this past week about some drama at Durango's, which is a hole-in-the-wall mom-and-pop Mexican place here in town. I guess like their night manager or night cook or something ended up stealing $15,000 from them, and it's gotten to the point where like their checks to their vendors and employees are bouncing.
Yes,
they're like in some serious trouble. They've actually started a GoFundMe, and I was like, well, I don't know about that. I will support them and like going to the restaurant eating because I enjoy their food. Maybe we'll have to make a trip out to Durango's and go to the new location up there on University.
Yeah, that new location. I think that's what's really hurting them the most. Is because they just opened the new location in December.
And then he was stealing from them.
Yeah. I mean, probably during that time, maybe they had a lot going on. Maybe he was running one of the restaurants by themselves. They've really handled... I'm really impressed with how they've handled it, because as of now, they have not released the name of the person who did this.
But apparently everybody that knows the owners and knows like really familiar with this group knows exactly who it is.
Oh, I'm sure there's no doubt. But as far as officially, you know, when they're interviewed by local media, they're not saying his name, and they're trying to take the high road as much as they possibly can. And man, you just hate to see that, because they just opened that second location, because they were at that other location for I think 15 or 16 years, and really built up a good foundation there, and then finally decided to branch out, and then right as they branch out, this happens. So yeah, that may be what we do next, is try to support our local Tex-Mex restaurants, because man, that's sad. So if y'all are in town, go buy Durango's, try to help them from going under, help a family business that's just got hit hard.
The guy was writing checks to himself and then other employees. So he wrote a check to somebody, like somebody else that was working there, didn't actually give it to him, and then signed it back to himself.
Yeah.
So he essentially wrote himself that check. But
and I think he unvoided checks, and or there was something with voiding checks too that yeah. he did. It was really shady. And anyways, I think he'd been with them a long time, so that's awful.
Yeah, if you're in the area and you like some hole-in-the-wall Tex-Mex, it's decent food, hit him up. Last question from Kyle Jacobson at underscore Kyle Jacobson, which is interesting. He got an underscore at the beginning of his Twitter handle.
I think that's pretty smart. Just get it out of the way.
Talk about the vote to abandon the Coliseum and Auditorium. So I'm not a person that's going to claim like any ties or any deep knowledge about this situation. I just know I used to go to Texas Tech hockey games in there. I went to a Lubbock Arena League football game in there. My wife's been to like the monster truck shows in there. I say just get rid of it. It's ugly. You got event space elsewhere in the city or plans to build that you can take on just about everything else that building holds. I know there's some sentimental value, like when they had the Texas Tech Rice basketball game in there. It was a pretty cool game.
Some yeah, because you went to nostalgia. That, right?
Yeah, I did. You go it was to that? Cool. I just don't think it's it's not worth enough to keep it open and the lights turned on, all that kind of stuff.
I agree. For those of you who don't know, the auditorium and the Coliseum, that's right next to the Jones. That's just west of the Jones.
It's in the parking lot, the west parking lot.
For those of you who don't know, Citibank used to put their name up on there, CITY Bank, the local bank here in town, and their contract expired and they chose not to renew it. So with that in mind, the city of Lubbock got stuck with footing the entire bill for both buildings and the upkeep and everything. And that comes out to $830,000 a year to keep the Coliseum just there. And what they've got booked this year is only $200,000. So the city's going $630,000 in the hole just to keep the Coliseum running. Just to cut to the quick, I don't know if Kyle's asking us if he wants me to weigh in on what I'm going to do, but there's a vote on May 5th open to the city of Lubbock about whether or not they should abandon the auditorium and the Coliseum. And I firmly believe that they should, because they have done a horrible job of keeping these two buildings up to date. They even passed a bond election in, I think, 2004 that was supposed to include, I don't know how many millions of dollars to renovate the Citibank Auditorium. And that was in 2004. The money didn't even come through till 2009, and then they used the majority of it to renovate the Civic Center Auditorium. So they didn't even use it towards the Lubbock Municipal Auditorium or Citibank Auditorium at that time at all. And they just mismanaged both buildings completely. There was a vote, I think, 20 years ago about getting a bond in to build a new Coliseum, and it failed 51% to 49%, and that made Tech have to kind of take the reins on this and start get funding together for the United Supermarkets Arena, which has kind of usurped the Coliseum for the majority of shows and anything coming to town. So no, I definitely think it's time for it to go. I don't trust the city on managing it. They've shown that they can't. They will just take the money and then use it for something else and not use it for what it was intended for. And on top of that, the Buddy Holly Center is going to have a new auditorium, and that'll be done by 2020. So that'll kind of replace this one. The big thing with the Coliseum is the rodeo, which, you know, that's one weekend a year, but everyone really makes a big deal about that. Good news
isn't
is
that why they can't demolish it sooner, because they're already under contract for next year, for 2019.
Well, I think Texas Tech, what would happen is if the city relinquishes this property, it then gets turned over to Texas Tech, and Texas Tech has chosen to honor the 2019 ABC rodeo at this Coliseum. So the Coliseum will definitely be here in 2019. So that makes me wonder, okay, now what? Does this upkeep and all this, you know, $830,000
go to Texas Tech?
Yeah, does that now go to students at Texas Tech? So, I think it's time to be done with it. I don't know what you do there instead. Maybe build a parking garage or something.
I don't even care if it's just a surface lot. Just expand it, you know, bring like RV parking back.
Yeah.
I don't care. You would make money on that more than you're going to be making money on the building, because right now you're losing $600,000.
Yeah, and the auditorium has lost shows. There was a company out of Oklahoma who would bring Broadway shows here, and they've quit doing it because auditorium is just not, it's not up to snuff. You know, they're not going to allow shows to be performed there. So it's unfortunate that the city just dropped the ball on it, but they need to own up to it and get rid of it. And the United Supermarkets Arena will take care of most of the Coliseum things. And, you know, the Buddy Holly Center or the Lubbock Civic Center will take care of auditorium stuff. And then that new agrarian center that they're going to build south of the airport, which is supposedly going to be in, you know, this, they're building all sorts of stuff south of the airport. Y'all should look it up.
But that's where the rodeo would move to, right?
Right. That's kind of the predicted place where it would go. They're building a dirt arena that would seat 8,000 people, and it would be well more equipped for a rodeo as opposed to the Coliseum, because the Coliseum is not equipped with the pins and everything that you really need to have a rodeo. I think they still have to do a lot outside of the Coliseum just to make that functional. So it wasn't even ideal for that, and this might even be a better place. I think there's a, I can't remember the name of it, but there's also been floated around, there's a smaller Coliseum in Leveland that I think they could have the rodeo. Anyway, I'm rambling on that way too much, but that's my thoughts on it. He said talk about, and so I talked about it.
We did talk about it.
I talked about it way too much.
All right, so what did we learn this week?
Okay, I want to go first. I learned that Lubbock continues to weed out the people who aren't strong enough to live here, because on Sunday, we had some pretty interesting weather. I have a tweet from Matt Ernst, who we follow each other on Twitter. You know, name drop, no big deal.
Oh, yeah, because he's a name to drop.
He is, man. He's a Spurs fan. He's Lubbock, a fellow Spurs fan.
He's a celebrity. Gosh, what are they called?
Meteorologist.
Meteorologist. A Lubbock meteorologist follows you. Like, yeah, I got to drop his name.
It's a big deal. Anyway, well, because I want to read his tweet. So he tweeted this on Sunday. He said, "We get some big temperature swings from morning to afternoon, but Sunday was impressive."
Yes. I remember this. Go on.
"Even by our standards, low in Lubbock 32, high 93. The high tide, a record for the date, reached a year ago." And he said, "That is a 61 degree swing over about 10 hours. And I was there."
Kind of a big deal. Yeah.
It was pretty gnarly.
A 61 degree swing. Like, it's almost to the point, like, so 32 degrees, you know, early April, not really out of the question. You almost could have set like a low and a high in the same day.
It was close. I think the low was like 20. I remember seeing that on another tweet. The low was in the 20s. So we weren't too far from setting a record high and low in the same day. That was pretty bizarre. That's what I learned this week, is that Lubbock continues to weed out the imitators.
What was the date on Sunday? Was it the 8th?
It was the 9th.
No, because today's the 10th.
Is it? Oh, no, you're right. It was the 8th.
Okay, the record low was 23. So
yeah, 23
degrees off.
Yeah.
All right. What did I learn? I learned that grass seed is stupid. Or at least the labeling on the grass seed.
These freezes aren't helping you at all either.
I was told, because I'm taking the packaging to be not disingenuous at all. Germination of this grass seed in 6 days. We are coming up on day 11, and I got nothing. I was like, I've been messing with the watering schedule, but I was like, well, I want to make sure it's spread out. I want to make sure I'm not watering too deeply where I just having water run off. I want to make sure it's still staying wet like it's supposed to. I've tinkered with it. I think I've got everything down. Of course, days like Sunday are not helping when it goes from 32 degrees where like water is on the verge of freezing to 93 degrees. You're like, now we're in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're back today with like a high was in the 70s.
It's just not on your side, man. The weather has not been cooperating with your plan to dominate the neighborhood.
I know, and I'm frustrated. Like, I'm doing everything that I was told to do. I waited, I may have waited too long, but then I would have been dealing with this kind of weather with grass trying to grow. I don't know. I'm frustrated. Grass isn't growing. I still have dirt around my house. It should be lawn. The neighbors. Disgusting Bermuda sod is greening up.
Yeah, it is.
Finally.
Yep.
Although, it's not cold tolerant at all. So that cold snap this weekend, Saturday night into Sunday, may have thrown it back into a quick dormancy. Although the 90 degrees 10 hours later might have... It's probably struggling just as much as I am.
Yeah, I had a couple of roses bloom this weekend. We've got those kind of desert rose bushes, and I'm thinking, oh boy, those poor bushes are confused. They don't know what's happening. Because I noticed a bloom on like Friday, and then all that crazy weather hit. And, oh, sorry, rose bushes, y'all are gonna have to figure this out.
So speaking of the weather, so today, high of 73. Tomorrow, high of 92. Thursday, high of 92. Friday, high of 65. Saturday, high of 60. Sunday, high of 70. Monday, 83. Tuesday, 86. Wednesday, 77. It's like all over the freaking place.
That's fine. It's good.
So, Saturday, when everybody's in town for the baseball game and the scrimmage, it's going to be cold. High of 60. Sounds nice in the summer, but like 60 degrees is in the spring here where it's going to be windy. Gonna be a little cold.
Bring your jackets. Okay. Everybody.
Also, learned grass seed. 6 days was probably aspirational. Best case scenario. Definitely not working on my side. Like I said, we're at day... So I planned it Friday before last. I don't even have a calendar in front of me. So we're almost at 2 weeks.
Gosh. It'll be up soon. You'll be fine.
I hope so. Because I was told with fescue, I may have to seed again to kind of fill in. And I know I'll have to seed in the fall, but I know to get like a fuller turf, I may have to seed again in the spring. Well, it's like, well, I was told to do it 2 weeks after the first one. I can't even get on it until it's growing yet. So I can't walk on it until it's growing and roots have started to establish.
Dude, you're not safe from a freeze out here till you get to like Memorial Day.
Well, luckily, again looking at the forecast, Friday, Saturday lows are 35. We should be out of the freeze for the next week or so. I just wish we had some like 80 degree day, like a week of 80 degrees. And it was just
it's kind of
grass growing.
It'll be here. Sitting there waiting for grass to grow.
Because, one thing, I'm watering it so much. Like, one, I'm not getting any dirt, like, blowing around in my yard. So there's that. Two, I'm also watering a lot. I'm not looking forward to that bill. Because we know LPNL in the city of Lubbock likes to really go after people that use some water. So
Yeah, you're going to get some, you're going to get into those tiers those tiers where you're beyond a certain so many thousand gallons, it's gonna hit you.
Luckily, I mean, it's only running like 2 or 3 minutes a zone at a time. I mean, it runs four times a day. So it runs, the sprinklers run to 6 minutes, four times. So 25 to 30 minutes a day.
But that's every day?
Every day. And it's been doing that for 2 weeks now.
Let me tell you, I would prepare for 300 to 400. Based off of what we did. Because we had to do the same thing, and it was in August, man. We were watering grass in August.
I don't know if I want grass right now.
You're watering dirt.
Changed my mind. Yeah, and that's the other thing, is I'm so afraid that like nothing is working, that I would have spent those 2 weeks of water for nothing.
I know, but you've got to keep going.
I'm so scared. Especially that bill coming in.
Well, just ask, ask Gibbs or Beard or somebody. How you could use that an extra $500 a month.
Somebody just pay for my student loans.
Get a GoFundMe. Get a GoFundMe for your lawn. GoFundMe.
You might do that
lawn.
For you want to sponsor the program? Great. Just know the first $500 a month that we make is going to student loans.
You could take like a. You could section off the yard. This square yard, this
it's
3x3
by.
Square is sponsored by, yeah. And send out a postcard with some updates. Get a Patreon account.
So, yeah, okay.
Longest podcast yet. We did it.
Well, so here's what I'm thinking. I'm actually thinking about breaking this one up into two parts.
Oh,
doing
think that's
the
good.
Actual sports talk, the hour, and releasing that first, and doing like this Q&A mailbag. That's what we'll call it, the mailbag. We'll release that like on Thursday or something.
That makes perfect sense. I think I would totally be.
So we'll have 2 40-minute episodes or 2 1-hour episodes.
Man, you guys, y'all had no idea what you were getting into when this started. You get so much content.
We don't even know what we're getting into.
Yeah, I think that's perfect cutoff because we hit right at an hour before we started the questions.
And we almost took an hour to answer the questions.
Yeah, we like to talk, guys. That's why we have a podcast.
It's like, who let these people have a podcast? Well, our wallets did since we paid for it.
That's right. That's right.
All right. For everyone here at the 23 Personnel Podcast, me and Michael, thanks for listening. I'm assuming we're going to end up splitting this episode into two. Thanks for listening to both. We'll figure out a way to get this bit back down to one episode, one-hour episodes. Or maybe the mailbag thing is a staple. We'll see.
Yeah. It's about to be the off-season. We may be very thankful for the mailbag. We may have an all-mailbag June
well,
and
the,
July.
The baseball season will still be going.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, thanks for listening to this week's episode. I was trying to make a joke about episodes.
Oh, I see.
Of the 20, and I biffed it. Sorry, everybody.
That's good enough.
Anyways, thanks everybody for listening to 23 Personnel Podcast. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll see you again next week.